You're listening to episode 10 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and the Cultivating the Lovely Morning Show on Periscope. You can also find the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com. Today, I have my very good friend, Erica from Chaotic Blessing, here with me discussing questions and answers that you guys have mostly sent in. We also talk a little bit of the background of how Erica and I met and how Cultivating the Lovely has gotten to where it is today. It's a lot of backstory that a lot of people have been very curious about, and I hope you guys will find it fun and interesting. Erica and I plan on doing a question and answer episode every month, so be sure to keep those questions and answers rolling in, and we will get to them as we are able to. You can email all of your questions to community@cultivatingthelovely.com, or you can submit them on our Facebook group. And you can always find all of those links right on our show notes for every show. Today's show notes will be cultivatingthelovely.com/10. So without further ado, here is Erica. Hey, Erica.
Hello.
I am so excited to have you here today.
I am so excited.
It really just feels like a continuation of our daily conversations, because for those of you who don't know, like, Erica and I pretty much talk back and forth all day long.
Yep.
And so it's fun to be able to let everybody in on our little conversation and talk about stuff.
Yeah, they can join us in our girlfriend chit chat.
Yes. So for people who don't know who you are, which if they watch my show, they've definitely heard of you and seen you in the comments on Periscope. But if they don't know who you are, will you give a little snippet of yourself?
Sure. My name is Erica, of course. I go by Chaotic Blessing on all social media. I have 4 children and married to an amazing man. We live in Ohio, and I like to think of myself as not an expert, but a growing wealth of knowledge about planning and organizing.
Yes, you are. You're my little hidden secret in my back pocket.
Yes, everybody wants an Erica when
yes.
you talk about me, even though I tell you not to say anything about me on this.
But it's so true. You guys, we're going to talk about it more later in the show, but Erica is what keeps the whole Cultivating the Lovely boat afloat. If it weren't for her, we would have sunk a long time ago.
Oh, well, I'll just consider we can be paddles. Both of us can be paddles.
Yes, there you go. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about how we met, because everybody always asks me that question about the people that I have on the show.
Okay.
So I think this is my version of the story, and then you can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
So I was posting things and maybe not keeping up with things that well in the Facebook group, and I received a message from this gal that was like, I really wanted to post something about the book club you're doing. Would this be okay? And she had it all written, like a whole draft, and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good, and I really don't have the time to do it, so why not? Sure. Would you like to post that for me? That would be awesome. And so then she did. And then she came back to me again and was like, hey, I could do this. I was like, that would be awesome. And before I knew it, she was helping me with everything and became one of my best friends. Is that what you think happened?
I think, you know what? I've been asked so many times and I try to remember as well. And I'm like, how did it happen? Because it feels like it just happened so organically.
Yes.
And, you know, people talk about God opening doors, even sometimes when we don't realize it. It was one of those doors just opened.
Yeah.
I watched you on Periscope and joined your group, and then you meet some people on the launch team. And so I asked to be a part of that and just kind of went from there. I saw a need, and I love to help people. That is probably one of my biggest passions in life and always has been since I was a child. And so I offered my help and then we just kind of rolled with it, I think.
Yeah, totally. And I think that we really clicked. And I had a lot of people that stepped forward and have been helpful. And it's been amazing. I mean, there's definitely a whole team of people that make yes. Cultivating the Lovely happen. But there was something with Erica. She was one of the very first ones who really stepped forward. And the ways that I saw her stepping in, saw you stepping in, is I could tell that God brought you into my life because you were good at all these things that I was not good at, really bad at. And it was like, God just like dropped this present on my doorstep in the form of Erica. I was like, here you go. All yeah. these things you're not doing very well, she's a pro at. And it just has made everything flow so easily.
Yeah, that's one thing that I have noticed is that the flow was so simple and easy. And we just kind of rolled with the next thing and then the next thing. And then we're like, oh, well, let's do this together. Yeah. And so it's been really great because I've also benefited because there are things that I'm not great at that just being a part of the team has really helped me, especially like with even Periscope. Like I didn't want to be in front of people.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I think it was one thing that you told me. You're like, well, one day you have to take a step forward and keep on going.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I do. So.
And now you've got your whole awesome. Little planner community following.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's I think that was another thing. You also stepped forward to help edit the first Bible study.
Yes, you're right. I did.
I think that was a big moment where I realized you were totally invested. We were really on the same page. And you were able to critique me in a way that I didn't take offense to.
And I was so nervous. I was like, I probably went overboard on editing, but and you could totally not use some of this stuff.
But it was awesome. And it was exactly what I needed. And I think that's been a huge part of our working relationship and then also our friendship is that it's been really drama free.
Yes,
yeah. We're able to just be honest with each other, but not take offense to things. And mm-hmm. I think that that has been a really big part of our relationship, which has been awesome.
So yeah. It's hard to find that in women.
Yes.
For some reason women, we don't get along very well.
Yeah.
We just don't. And so to find women that you can get along with and function, just even being kind to each other yes. and say, no, you didn't really do this right, but it's okay. And then the other person going, oh yeah, you're right. And not crying about it.
Yes. Exactly.
Or closing the door and being like, okay, I don't want to talk to that person anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like not letting it get under your skin, but just like we're both working towards the same goal.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's worked out really well. And there's been no like tiptoeing or I wonder how she's going to take this or it's just been... It's been really good. So for anyone,
is.
Yeah,
I use my mommy voice with you.
Yes. She puts me in my place and I take it. So for anyone looking for those kinds of friendships, just, you know, go into it knowing you just gotta like be good with stuff.
Yeah.
And not freak out.
Yeah. Don't right? be a freak.
Don't be a freak. That's our motto. Don't yeah. be a freak. Okay. So the reason we have Erica on the show today is it's a Q&A session. And so she is going to ask me some of the questions that you guys have all written in that you would like me or our team to answer. And we are going to talk about those a little bit. So Erica, I yep. turn the mic over to you.
So we've had several questions come in from either podcast, from the Facebook group, from Periscope. And so we've been collecting them. And one of the questions that has been asked several times we thought we would address today has to do with cultivating the lovely.
Yeah.
which is a great place to start, right? If you're going to do Q&A, let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
So the question was, where did the idea of cultivating the loveliness come from or cultivating the lovely come from? And this was from Christy from the Facebook group.
Okay, so this is a long story. Everybody buckle up. I'll try to give the condensed version. But last year, to start off the year, I was reading Own Your Life. And that's by Sally Clarkson. And I think that that had a big impact because I was already kind of thinking about these ideas of making life more beautiful and doing things in a more beautiful way. And the group of friends that I have, we were trying to find some different ways of homeschooling that were a little bit more organic and natural and not so by the book curriculum that somebody else had set up, but rather kind of living by faith in what God could show us to be able to do with our kids. So we all got together and we watched Carol Joy Side's seminar, Homeschool Made Simple. I believe that's what it's called. And it's from Compass Classroom. We all got together and watched it, and it was just this very literary-based idea of homeschooling, and she says that if you have a library card, a math program, and a Bible, that you can homeschool your kids. And so wow. It was just kind of this awesome, yeah, it was an awesome idea of thinking about how you can homeschool. And so it was springing out of that and Own Your Life, and I was reading about how when Sally went to a hotel even, she would bring candles and, you know, a nice teacup and chocolates and all these things. I was thinking, that's the kind of life I want. That's the kind of existence I want and the atmosphere I want my kids to be growing up in. And so I really started doing a lot of reading about it, and my friends and I were all talking about it. And then we all got together and we were thinking about possibly creating like an Instagram feed or something that was based on this idea of trying to create more loveliness in our lives. And we were brainstorming ideas for names, and we kind of settled on Cultivating the Lovely, and we checked all the different things to see if it was, you know, the domain available. Name. Yeah. Seeing if it was available, and it was available everywhere. And some other things that we had thought of weren't. And so we were like, okay, well, maybe this would be something to go off of. But none of them were really ready to jump in with anything. And they kind of had some reservations of whether they wanted to take on another project and that kind of stuff. And so I secured the Instagram feed, and I, you know, just kind of sat on it for a little bit to see what would happen. And I was kind of praying and trying to figure out exactly what God wanted me to be doing with my blog and different things. And then Periscope rolled around. And I jumped on that. If you guys want the whole backstory on kind of how I ended up on Periscope and all those things, then you can go to the Inside Scope podcast with Ryan Bolello. I was on episode 14, and we go pretty in depth into how my whole Periscope story started. But with Periscope, I just kind of started doing it, and then people kept showing up, and I decided, well, maybe a good morning show idea would be to do Cultivating the Lovely, and we could talk about the top three ways that we're cultivating loveliness every day. And that's kind of what it sprang out of. And so I'd always thought about podcasting, and so it just felt like a natural transition to have the podcast come out of the Periscope show, and it just kind of all flowed together like that.
That's awesome. So you were already blogging prior yes. to this, right?
Well, I have been blogging since 2007. Okay. So I had an old blog that shall remain nameless. And then in 2011, I broke ties with that blog because it was just kind of going in a direction that I wasn't thrilled with. And I started Bold Turquoise. And so that is where I've been blogging since 2011. Off and on, because I just never really felt that, like, this is what I'm supposed to be talking about. And once Cultivating the Lovely started, it's given every other area more direction, which has been fun to see.
Awesome. So out of that, a lot of the next question that people ask is, how are you managing to do all of this?
I'm not. That's the short answer. I mean, we've kind of already hit on it that yeah. Erica and I are really both at the helm of this. I may be the face of it, but Erica keeps me all organized, and we run all ideas through each other and all of that. So I really feel like we're a partnership in that way. And then we have a whole team with us also. And Erica helps manage that team, which is amazing because I find I'm not that good at that. And so we have a gal who really helps a ton with the Facebook group and the podcast. And we have another gal who helps with the launch team and the podcast and graphics, and another gal who works on all the show notes that we get up for everybody every day from the Periscope shows. So it's a lot of people working together to make everything happen. And I couldn't do all of that by myself. So that's the short answer.
I think also we concentrated on what needs to be done on a daily basis and really try to simplify it.
Yes.
And not get overwhelmed so that there's still time and energy to focus on larger projects.
Yeah. And we've had larger projects, but I don't feel like we have 8 larger projects at a time. Right. Like we've spaced them out for the most part. When we did the first Bible study in the mugs at the same time, that was a little crazy. And the podcast launching. Okay, so that all happened at the same time. But since then, we've spaced ourselves out better and just given ourselves more margin. I think all of us are moms that are working on the show together. And most of us are homeschooling. Erica is, you know, working with her little girls, homeschooling. And, right?
Yeah. But the rest of mine go to public school.
Yeah. But we all have kids at home.
Yes,
so
we do.
We're all mommies, and so we can only do so much. And we're just trying to have grace and hope that other people have grace with us.
Right, exactly. So when you talked about, I like how you said that cultivating the loveliness actually came from a book that told you how to simplify and really, really kind of tone down and say, okay, you only need these things. If you have these things, you can homeschool. And then you talked about Sally Clarkson, how she brought certain items with her as when she traveled. So what things in your life on a normal basis do you consider yourself as you're cultivating the loveliness? Like when you sit down and go, I want to cultivate the loveliness today, what ends up being on your list multiple times?
That's a good question. I think, well, a lot of people know I've really been trying to integrate more reading and audiobooks into our life this year. And for my kids as well, that we're really building that family culture around books. I should mention that too. That is the tagline of the Read Aloud Revival. And that had a big impact on this idea of loveliness and forming family culture also. Right. And so I think we've really been trying to have that be a main staple throughout our life. And just the little things. It's the little stuff, like my silly cultivating the lovely mug that I love. Like, I treasure my cup of coffee every morning, even though it's decaf. It's like this little bright, shining piece of my day that is just like comfort and warmth and makes me feel happy. And I like having my afternoon tea. And we haven't been doing this every day this year, but we're trying to establish a habit of really like setting the table for breakfast for the next morning. Has been a really fun thing to wake up to every morning, that our table is set with real dishes, even if we're only having cereal. I don't make a full spread breakfast. I know that was one of the questions somebody put in, like, is she making like some crazy breakfast every day? I'm not making a crazy breakfast every day, but I have found myself taking our mornings more slowly instead of getting done with my Periscope show and being like, okay, you guys, let's hit the ground running and get into school and get all this stuff done. We've more been savoring it and just, if I will maybe make French toast, but we'll maybe have cereal and then we'll just all sit down together. And then we kind of do our morning time as we're eating breakfast very leisurely. And we will, you know, read while we're eating breakfast. And those kinds of things have just made the whole day feel more like family. It's made home school instead of school at home.
Right.
And so I think that that has been a big piece for us of just making things feel more family-centered and home-centered, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. I think it just helps people understand when you say cultivate the loveliness, what does that look like or what can it look like? I remember one day you said, even if it means you put a smile on your face because you're doing laundry and don't really want to do it that day, that could be one of your ways that you're cultivating the loveliness that day.
Absolutely. I think a lot of it boils down to the attitude that we choose to have, which a lot of times I don't do a very good job of, but I have the end goal to have a good attitude because that really can rub off on our families.
Yes.
And it's a constant process too. I mean, we talk about how it's labor, care, and study. Like it takes work and you have to learn how to do it. It doesn't just come naturally. I think especially in our culture, where we don't have a whole lot of women who are older than us who can show us, like, this is how we really made this happen in our families. We're right. kind of having to dive into really old resources. I find myself reading books from, you know, the 50s to try to be like, how were women making home? You know, what did they do before we kind of let all that fly out the window? You know, what does that look like and how is it interpreted now in 2016?
Right. How can we make it work for the lives that we live today? Because yeah. it's so different
yeah.
than it was back then. Yeah, that is a good one. I know somebody else asked the other day, do you have any great mantras that you tell yourself throughout the day? Which ties into being, ties into cultivating the loveliness of the day. Because it's not sitting down on the couch and putting a smile on your face and saying, everything's going to be lovely today.
No.
You actually have to like dive in and wade through the stuff that we're doing.
Yes. And I was joking with Erica when we were talking about that question, because it's like the thing I repeat most is like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. Like that's really, I mean, I live a real life with four children, but I do think that's also been a part of like the Savor and Establish Bible studies more than a mantra. It's more like having my Bible out on the counter and coming back to it throughout the day. And making sure I'm getting filled up with the word or memorizing scripture or those kinds of things with my kids, or even doing like the 24 Family Ways from the Clarksons, their book. They have all these great ideals of family and coming back to those kinds of things. But I don't have like a mantra that I think I would necessarily say to myself.
Just, you say, keep swimming, keep swimming.
Yes, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And then I, you know, get a hold of Erica. They remind me to not be crazy. Erica and Stacy.
Stacy,
like,
don't be a freak.
Yeah, don't be a freak.
Yeah. Well, because it's true throughout the day as moms and wives, we set the tone mm-hmm. of our family. It really falls on our shoulders. And so if we are confessing negatives or have a bad attitude, then the rest of our family is going to.
Yeah.
And so then we're really not helping ourselves out
yep.
at all. So
for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's really one of the things that I've gotten from cultivating the loveliness in my life is just reminding myself day after day, I set the tone. So yeah. if I want it to be a peaceful home and I want it to be happy and centered around family, then that's where my mind frame has to be.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times if things feel like they are going off the rails and we're looking at our kids and we're like, why are they being so nuts and they've got such bad attitudes and, you know, why are they yelling at each other or why are they whatever? It's a really good time to sit back and be like, oh, yeah, they're a mirror of me.
Yeah.
And so if they're going off the rails, that probably means that I have actually been going off the rails. And that's where I need to start, is with myself instead of being frustrated with them and trying to be like, why won't you people, you know, listen to me? Like, I need to go back to, well, how am I even talking to them in the first place?
Right.
And trying to make sure that I'm back on track before I try to get them on track, because it just won't work if you do it the other way around.
That is very, very true. So in all of this, you also brought up as part of your New Year's, we're not going to say resolution, but goals, was mm-hmm. to start new habits.
Yes.
And that's going to be part of your cultivating the loveliness on a daily basis. How have you done that on a daily basis? How have you started incorporating new habits?
Well, some of it is kind of stuff I've already talked about. Like, the audiobooks and stuff have replaced a lot of the podcasts that I've been listening to, and really getting my kids to be listening to audiobooks and just getting us into that rhythm. Like I said, we haven't done it every day, but trying to make sure that especially the older boys who are 6 and 9, they are helping me with more of their chores, where it was more just like, oh, randomly, go do this, go do that. Where now it's like, okay, after dinner, this is what we do. And you guys help me. And we do this and we get the table set so we can have this nice time in the morning. So that's been one that it's definitely not been perfect and we've wavered on, but we're really trying to get into a better habit of. Another one is I, all through the years, have always just like served dinner from the stove. And I find that it drives my husband crazy. So he really always wanted it on the table. I was like, oh, that takes so much more work and so much more dishes. But then I realized that actually, if I just moved it all over, then we weren't getting up during the meal when people needed seconds or whatever. And so that has been a big habit that I've just been establishing for myself, to just move it all over to the table. It's like 10 feet away. It's not that big of a deal. I can move it, and then we can all just sit through dinner and be able to enjoy each other. So those kinds of things I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job on. But a lot of other habits that I wanted to start out the year with, they haven't really happened. But I don't feel discouraged by it, because I feel like, okay, we're at the end of January, we're heading into a new month. A few things we really have been doing, and now that I kind of have those down, I've got a whole fresh new month where we can try to add in some of these other ones and really keep working on it. Like, I'm just not one of those people that says, oh, I blew it in January on my resolution, so they're all out the window. I have the whole year to work on what we set forth at the beginning of the year to be able to do. So, you know, there's more things about, you know, exercise and different stuff, drinking water and whatever, that I'm gonna, you know, put fresh attention to starting with February. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because we can't bite off more than we can chew.
Yeah.
You know, so, but then you can be consistent with the things that you already established in January.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, we got those down and we'll keep going. So then it won't feel so like you have so much on your plate when you're adding in the new stuff in February.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a process.
It is. It is. Throughout your day, do you have the kids in a certain routine? Is that part of the new habits that you're doing this year?
Well, that's one of the things we're working on. Yeah. For sure. And I think that our routine has taken a little bit different pace now that we're doing like breakfast differently and that sort of thing. But it's a continuous process of trying to see, okay, what is really going to work for us, and working into more of a routine. So we are still working on that one, I would say.
Okay, another question that came from the Facebook group was, how long have you been on the farm, and was it a big life change moving there?
Okay, yes. We have been on the farm for 4 years in April, which is crazy. It doesn't seem possible. And it was a pretty big life change. It was something that my husband had always wanted to do. He'd always wanted to move to property. I grew up very suburban and thought that I was going to move to either New York or California. So
it's a big difference.
Yes. So we had lived in our little teeny tiny house in the city for 8 years before we moved out here. We didn't even have a backyard that our kids could play in. So anytime they wanted to go outside to play, we had to go out in the front yard, and there was just a ton of foot traffic. And we had two highways about two blocks from us on either side. So it was just very much in the heart of things. And I mean, the one advantage is it was close to everything, but that was about it. And so it was a huge transition moving out here. I was 7 months pregnant with our first daughter, and I had a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old. And we lived in a fifth wheel trailer for 2.5 months. So, like, until 2 weeks before I was due to have the baby, we lived in a fifth wheel trailer in front of the house while my husband did, like, renovations. Like, a lot of rooms he took down to the studs, and we still have a lot of work to do, but he did massive amounts of work. And it was so funny, because when he told me we were moving and we were going to do these renovations, he was like, 3 weeks, we'll just be in the trailer for 3 weeks. I was like, okay, I'm married to a contractor, I know better than to think that it's going to be 3 weeks.
Right? It's never 3 weeks.
Never 3 weeks. It was like the Money Pit. Have you ever seen that movie? With Tom Hanks and Shelley Long, and where they're like, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, we did it 2 weeks. And so about the time where I had my baby shower, and one of the questions in one of the games was, do you think Mackenzie will have the baby in the house or in the trailer? Like, that's it. Mommy needs a house. And so I actually went, I was huge pregnant, and my in-laws came out one day, and I was wearing like my husband's sweatshirt, and my hair was in a messy bun, and I didn't even know they were coming, and it had been raining for weeks on end. And my mother-in-law took one look at me and she goes, do you want to come stay with us? I was like, yes. And
I packed my bags and I left, and I literally told my husband, like, I'm not coming back until there is carpet in the upstairs and furniture and I can sleep in the house. And so what was supposed to be like me being gone for 3 days was like a week and a half. And
he, 3 weeks?
Yeah. He just busted his butt and just tried to get everything together. And so when we moved in, we only had the upstairs ready. He was still working on the downstairs. And we had to leave again one more time before my daughter was born. And, like, the weekend that I had her, we still didn't even have an oven. Like, it was just a total craziness. And so I never really felt like we got to fully move in, because we'd had all of our stuff stored in our garage. And then I had a baby. And, I mean, it was just, it was total craziness. And now here we are 4 years later and there are still boxes in the garage.
Still don't feel moved in.
Yes, there's another baby now. So right. It just, yeah, it's felt kind of crazy. But also my boys, I mean, they took to it like fish to water. Especially my, he's now six, he was almost three when we moved in here. I just can't imagine him living back in the city, because he is just a country boy at heart. Mm-hmm. And he's just so used to being able to walk out the front door and not worry about anybody seeing him. Or, and I'm so used to letting him, like, he can just go play, and he's got all this land to be on and things to explore. And so that's been amazing for, like, homeschooling and everything. It just feels like a perfect scenario, and it's so quiet and so peaceful. And so in all those respects, it's just been amazing. We do have to warn him, like, when we go into town, like, you can't just walk out the door of grandma's house.
Right.
You're in the city, and you can't pee in the middle of her yard because we're in the city. And so there's, you know, those things that we have to, you know, make sure he's civilized. But other than that, it's
shirt and shoes.
Yes. Yes. Other than that, it's been really good.
So, but how was it for you going from being a city girl? I mean, I imagine you didn't even pet a cow, much less have them around you, or horses, or having to go get wood to heat your house.
Yeah, that is different, because we do heat almost 100% with wood heat. And so, yeah, stoking the fire every day and all those kinds of things. There's been a big learning curve. We've had chickens, and the snakes I will never get used to. I will just...
Oh, come on. You don't like those?
No. Those sneaky little things. Oh, no. I can't handle the snakes, and I never, ever will. But in a lot of respects, now, I don't think I could go back. I'm just so used to the quiet and the space and the freedom that my kids have, and I just, now I love it, and I don't think I could go back to living in the city. I could live in a bigger house on a different piece of property, but I don't think I could go back to, like, suburban or city living again.
No. Do you think that being on the farm kind of fits more with how you wanted to be, and when we talk about being crunchy? Like, does that kind of go hand in hand? Did you start making that transition when you moved to the farm, or were you always...
I was already there. You're already there. I had a baby in our last house in the city, and a lot of those things had already been in place. So I think it's helped. I mean, it definitely hasn't hurt anything. I'm still not a great gardener or anything like that, but hopefully someday when I don't have, you know, like, a baby to keep the snakes away from while I'm gardening. But, that was kind of already established before I came out here. Okay, well, I think that was a good amount of questions that we answered from people. You think so?
I think so. I can't wait to see what other questions people have. We still have quite a few on the list for upcoming months, so that's exciting.
Yeah, and this is a feature that Erica and I are going to try to do on a monthly basis. So keep the questions rolling in, and we will make sure to get to them, or hopefully get to a lot of them. So you can email those into community@cultivatingthelovely.com, and we'll have all of that in today's show notes also. And it will be show number 9, so you can, or number 10.
10, yeah.
So you can go to boldturquoise.com/10 to find it. But to wrap it up, since this is Erica's first time on the podcast, we won't do this every time, but I did want to ask her the stock questions that I ask everyone. So are you ready, Erica?
I am. I'm okay. So excited about these.
Okay, candles or essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
All right.
I just cannot get into the... I want to see the flame flickering. Yes. And plus, I love the smell when you blow out a candle.
Oh, funny. Okay, cloth napkins or paper?
Paper. I love the way cloth napkins look, but I don't want to iron my napkins.
Yeah, right? So. That would not. If I used cloth napkins, which I have given some consideration to recently from people on the show who are trying to convince me.
Yeah.
But they're not getting ironed. I can tell you that right now.
The ones, I will say this. We kind of do both. I have the Norwex, kitchen washcloths. Mm-hmm. And I have them in multiple colors. And so, especially the little ones, they each have their own color. And so they use that for mealtime.
Well, there you go.
Instead of multiple paper towels or napkins.
Yeah.
So I guess we do both, but I don't really consider those cloth napkins.
Yeah. But it's a reusable version.
It is.
Okay. City or country?
Ooh. No, I would love to be able to live in both at the same time. I love the cities just for the culture and the diversity that you find here. And there's so much to do.
Yeah.
And so many different restaurants. I'm a foodie at heart and I love to eat. But I don't want to eat from the same three restaurants all the time.
Yeah.
But I find, because we live in a small town, and so country's, not even a mile down the road from me. So I live in a subdivision, but it still feels country to me because it's so small.
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to do both at the same time.
I agree. I actually agree because, I don't live near a huge city, but it's a city, and we're only 10 to 15 minutes away from the city. So we still feel like we're country and we have all the benefits of that, but I'm still close enough to great restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. See, we still have like a 30, 35 minute drive to get to more choices.
Yeah.
here we have maybe 3 or 4 that you can choose from.
Yeah. That's rough. You poor foodie.
Yeah, I know. But it saves my budget.
This is true.
Stay home and I cook at home.
This is true. And we do a lot more of that since we're not as close. We're not 2 minutes from everything anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, paper or digital?
Paper, but I do both because I always have stuff on my iCalendar.
Yeah.
And my entire family's linked up to it. So even my older kids know what's going on. So we have that, but I am a paper planner.
Yes, you are, and you're good at it. Okay, shopping online or in-store?
I've been in-store mostly, but I'm really starting to learn how to shop online.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm actually saving money when I shop online because I don't get the, I need that. Or the kids go, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this?
Yeah.
So I am very quickly moving to more online.
Yeah, I hear you. It's 4 o'clock, you're making dinner and need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or music?
Music.
Okay.
I'm a music junkie.
What's your favorite?
Really, I love it all, but if I choose something like my go-to, I love the 80s, especially when I need a little pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Because I know all the words to every single song.
That's funny.
So I would probably choose that. But I love music, and lyrics are one of my favorite things because they're so poetic.
Yes. Fun. Okay. Chocolate, milk, or dark?
Dark. All the way.
Amen, sister. Okay. Sports or no sports?
If they're live and I can watch it in person, great. If not, I don't have the time for it.
Okay. That's a good answer. Favorite movie?
Oh. You see, you know what? I know what these questions are. You would think I'd have this all. gosh, that is really, really hard because next to music, movies are my next favorite thing.
Would you go 80s again?
I would say almost any 80s, but ultimately, one of my most favorite movies is Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Almost nobody has heard of it, and it was this great old movie, and they actually put it to color, and I don't know, it's just one of those where I see it and it just makes me want to sit down and just cuddle up and watch it and sing along, and
Oh.
it's a really good movie, but people are going to watch and they're going to go, seriously?
I
It's one
have
of those
those
old
kinds of
ones where
movies.
they have no acting skills whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are the best.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. If you had to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum, if zero was not crunchy at all and 10 was singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs not shaved, where would you be?
I would probably say I'm about a 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Always room for improvement there.
Yes. Oh, yes. For sure. For
I'm
all of
also the
us.
kid who grew up with a hippie mom.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, I didn't have any sugar until I was 2 years old, and my grandmother gave me a piece of chocolate cake for my birthday, and I got sick because
Oh.
I never had refined sugar before.
Wow. That's pretty awesome, though. Good for your mom.
Yeah, she was really cauliflower burgers and everything.
Wow, crazy. Well, that is so fun. I was really interested to hear all those answers from you, even though we talk all the time. It was fun to
Right.
hear what you had to say. And thank you for being on the show and for facilitating all of those questions. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, but thanks for asking me to do it. It's so much
Absolutely.
fun.
It'll be fun to do it again soon.
Yes.
Okay, well, you go have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye. So that's it for this week's episode of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Next week, I'm really excited to have both Sarah and Sally Clarkson on about their brand new book, The Life-Giving Home. So be sure to come back and check that out next week. And until then, I would really appreciate it if you would go and leave reviews and ratings in iTunes. That just really helps everybody hear about the podcast and get the word out about it and help us to have a good ranking in iTunes. So thank you so much for all of you who've taken the time to do that. And thank you to all of you who are going to. Until next week, ladies, go be bold and gracious.